Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for each person that is here, for those who've made the travels, and Father, we thank you for those that are still on the way. Lord, as we prepare to enter into worship and to praise, Lord, may we just take that baggage of life, the things that are holding us back this morning, and just lay them at the feet of the cross, remembering that today we have set aside time to worship you. Father, may we just focus on that, on your goodness and the love that you have for us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship.
I was buried. Carry that kind of weight. It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive.
All right. Amen. You know, this is that time where we set aside time to pray for those that are lost inside of our world, for those that are walking around that don't know Jesus. You know, it's important that we never give up on anybody. And it's easy for us to do that. We can go through life, we can see people, and we run into people that we're just not sure how to reach. Well, the one thing that we can always do is we can pray for them. We can constantly lift them up, remembering that Jesus is the one that does a new work inside of them. Jesus is the one that can soften even the hardest of hearts and call them to him. And that's why we have our My Three, and this is why we pray every Sunday for those who don't know Jesus. Because we know Jesus is the one who saves, not us. You know, there's no persuasive argument we can give. There's no argument we can win and them still find Jesus that way. Instead, we are called to lift them up to our Heavenly Father, to be his hands and feet. And when we need to, use our words, but let our actions speak as well. And one of the ways we do that is to pray. So this morning, what I want you to do is I want you to really think about who those three people are in your life that don't know Jesus. And I want you to lift them up by name. And I know I say this weekly, but make sure you don't just do it on Sunday morning, that you do it each day. If you need to, grab one of the little cards. We've got cards out there. You can put their names on it. Place it someplace where you can always see them each and every day. Mirror, in the car, in your wallet, on the back of your phone case, if you got one of those clear ones. And lift those people up by name each and every day, because we know the work that God can do. And we know the way he changed our lives. Can you imagine what he would do in your friends and family's lives? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we know we have people in our community, in our lives that are hurting, that don't know you. Lord, we lift them up to you inside of this moment. Father, we lift them up by name. Lord, you know who the people are from my life. Lord, I ask that you just do a new work in them. Father, by the, they need you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This song is all about going before the Lord on our knees and fighting, he fighting our battles as we pray to him. It's called Battle Belongs.
I'm
let you be praised. Lord, we just lay everything at your feet this morning. You can fight our battles. We don't want them. You are truly faithful. Thank you, Father, for that amazing, amazing grace, your amazing, amazing love for us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. I want to take a moment. I just want to welcome our guests that are here with us this morning. I also want to welcome everybody that's joining us online and on the radio. We are so thankful that you could join us in that way. It's good to have everybody here. But before we dive into the message this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the honor to be here, for the opportunity to come into your presence, and Lord, to just fellowship with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I ask that this morning it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Lord, I ask if anything is said that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. And Lord, we ask that if it is your words, that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts this morning, and that we look to you for our hope and our guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's crazy to think that it's been a year since Pastor Kerwin came and joined the church. Just over, I believe it was the 19th was his first official day here. And on top of that, it's been 3 years since you guys had a moment of lapse of judgment and decided to make me your senior pastor. You know, but it's been a privilege to be here, to walk alongside many of you throughout these last 3 years. I've had the privilege of seeing so many of you grow in your relationship with Christ, to watch how God is working inside of you. I've had the opportunity to challenge many of you, and many of you have challenged me in that exact same way. Throughout the last 3 years, I have laughed and cried with many of you. We've had some great times, and we've also said goodbye to some wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ who've gotten to go home and see Jesus face to face. We've had over 25 people baptized. We've had over 20 people say yes to Jesus. I think the number is actually higher, but I've kind of lost track. I had a little spreadsheet I was going. It's out of date. We've seen children dedicated to the Lord. We've seen new children come into life. It's been a great 3 years. And throughout the last 3 years, we've taken the time to engage our community. And we've done it in numerous ways. Sometimes it was in events. Sometimes it was reaching out to them. And on top of that, we started going into our community, working at being the hands and feet of Jesus wherever he's placed us. And this wasn't just done as a full body or as a church. This has been done individually by many of you. And I've heard the stories of many of you on how God has used you at different times to share his love inside of our community. And as many of you have shared stories, I've also had many in the community who've talked about many of you and how much of a blessing you were to so many. And I realize that I've probably barely scratched the surface of what I've heard. But I want you guys to know I praise God for each and every one of you. I praise God that we get to do this life together. But just as we're getting ahead and just as we're getting into this rhythm of life that God has called us to, it's really easy for us to become complacent. It's really easy for us to just kind of stay where we're at and to start pushing off the work that God has called us to. It's easy for us just to keep resting on what we've done in the past and stop looking for new ways to engage the world around us for the sake of Christ. It's almost like we can become the spectator in our relationship with Jesus and look at what others are doing and say, well, that's nice. But did you know as a follower of Jesus, we're not called to be spectators. We're called to be participants. We're called to engage, to partner with God, to reach the world with the gospel. The good news about Jesus. And often when we think of the gospel, we have this tendency to focus solely on the forgiveness and the afterlife part of the gospel. When we're talking to someone about coming to Jesus, we have a tendency to focus heavily on the fact that Jesus forgives our sins based on the work of what he did up on the cross. And we have a tendency to talk about eternity and heaven and hell. And these are good things, don't get me wrong. These are part of the gospel message. But for the most part, that's where we leave it. We kind of leave it at this idea of a golden ticket to the happy place, right? When we present Jesus, that's normally where we like to go. Here's your golden ticket to the happy place. If you say no to Jesus, you don't want to go to that place. But here's an opportunity. But there's so much more to the gospel. It's an invitation from Jesus to actively participate in his life and in his teaching. It's not meant to be just these one or two things. It's about an all-in approach. It's to have Jesus transform us from the inside out. To let him be our source of joy. To let him show us the purpose for our lives. To allow Jesus' life to be an example of love and service to others. We're not called to be spectators in the gospel. We're to be all in and to partner with him. You know, we've been on this Life of Christ series now for a while, but this morning, we're going to pause from it. We're going to pause from the series, and instead, I feel like God wants me to share something a little different with you guys. I want us to take a moment this morning, and I want us to look at our mission statement as the Mount Carroll Church of God, as a reminder of what God has called this body of believers to. And our mission statement is, the Mount Carroll Church of God is to be a praying and worshiping body that ministers to hurting people and makes disciples for Christ and brings people into fellowship and trains them in ministry. I believe this sums up well what God has called this church to. And as I look back on the last 3 years and even the years prior, I believe we do a lot of these things and we accomplish a lot of this mission as the body of believers. But on the same hand, there's so much more that we could be doing. There's so much more that we could be doing. Because in some ways, we've become complacent on the mission in which God has called us to. So let's break down our mission statement this morning and make sure we all understand what we're called to do and how we're supposed to operate. Our mission statement comes straight from the Great Commandment and the Great Commission spoken by Jesus himself. The Great Commandment shows us where our heart should be, and the Great Commission shows us what our to-do list is and what our actions are called to do, and it challenges us. The Great Commandment can be found in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, where it says, "And he said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. 38. This is the greatest, the most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." You know, that command that was found in verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, is where we get the first part of our mission statement. This idea that we're called to be a praying and worshiping body of Christ. Jesus gave us an example throughout his life on how we are to pray. That there's nothing that we should be doing without seeking his guidance, without seeking his wisdom. Prayer is not something that we should only be doing at church. Prayer is not something that we should only be doing before we have a meal or something like that. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are called to be a body that prays without ceasing. That means in all things, we always take it to the Lord. In all things, we're constantly praying. We don't take a step without it. You know, Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." One of the interesting things about that is a lamp does not light up the entire road, does it? It shows just the next couple steps in front of you. When we're seeking God in prayer, we're asking him to illuminate that next step. We're constantly going in that direction. And that's why we're called to be praying always and to do it without ceasing and to pray in and out of season, to pray in the good times and the bad, to seek the Lord's will in everything we do. Because we as a church cannot operate without prayer. We would not be where we're at today if it wasn't for faithful saints that spent time on their knees praying. That's how the church is who the church is today. Jesus himself did not operate without prayer. He gave us that example. And just as we're called to pray all the time, we're called to worship God in all times. And I know often when we think of worship, what do we think of? We think of singing songs, right? We think of our Sunday morning service coming in here, and that's our worship service. And even though that is a form of worship, don't get me wrong, that is great. But worship is so much more than that, folks. It is not just a Sunday morning service. It's not an hour out of your week. In fact, worship for us as Christians in America that speak English is very hard for us to define. We have a difficult time putting a definition behind it. I want you to think about this for a minute. Bowing down to Jesus is to worship him. To fear Jesus is to worship him. To give him reverence is to worship him. To turn to Jesus is to worship him. To give him glory is to worship him. To serve others in the name of Jesus is to worship Jesus. To make an offering is to worship him. To eat in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ is to worship him. To pray is to worship him. And of course, to sing him a song is to worship him. And there is so much more to it than just even that. This idea of worshiping him is so much more than a Sunday morning spending an hour together. This idea of worshiping Jesus is about giving him everything we have. It's about turning to him in all ways. It's about loving God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. Keeping in mind that everything we do is for his glory and not our own. I want you to think about that. That means living a life that brings glory to God and not us. You know, even down to when our jobs, where we go to school, any of those things. Like in your job, if your boss asks you to do something that's unethical, one of the ways in which we can praise Jesus and worship him is by saying no. To be a man and woman of your word, let your yes be yes and your no's be no. That is a way to worship Jesus. These are all forms of worship. You know, this is about our family and friends and putting Jesus even in front of them and being willing to be a servant even in the most difficult situations. When your friends or family ask you to do things that you know go against the very word of God and being willing to stand and say, no, I love Jesus, I love God with my mind, my soul, and my body and everything I have, I can't do that because it doesn't bring him glory. That is an act of worshiping Jesus. It is about giving everything we have to him. This means living a life that the world may look at as strange and walking away from sinful things in our lives and handing all of those things over to Jesus to let him make us new again from the inside out. This idea of worshiping God with all we have is oftentimes one of the most difficult things for us to do here in America. And I want you to hear me on this because we have been given so much. If we're honest, even the poorest of the poor in here in our community are blessed compared to most of the rest of the world. You know, Jesus talks about how it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not a statement against rich people. I want you guys to hear me on this for a second. Instead, what Jesus is talking about is that the rich person often relies on what they have, their resources and their money, and they stop relying on Christ. They don't give him everything they have. Where a poor person, all they have is Jesus. And here in America, we're blessed. Let's not kid ourselves. We are truly blessed. And I thank God I get to live here. My brother being a missionary, I've heard a lot of stories. A lot of it's heartbreaking, but the amount of joy that they have is because of Jesus. And as we start understanding that first part of our mission statement about prayer and loving God, and we start putting everything together and we start putting Jesus first, when we get to that point in our lives where Jesus becomes all that we need and we start looking to him and we place him before everything else, it starts shifting our minds on how we view others. It starts transforming us from the inside out. Instead of having this us versus them mentality, we start seeing people for who they are. We don't see the drug addict anymore. We don't see the alcoholic. We don't see the outcast of society. We no longer fear these people. Instead, what we start doing is we start seeing them as fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God and somebody that Jesus wants to reach. And it starts transforming us. And we see people as God sees them. You know, Jesus said in verse 39 and 40, going back to that, the second is like this: love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets depend on those two commands. If we start loving our neighbor, if we start ministering to them, right? If we truly love our neighbor, we will start to minister to them. I'm not always talking about our words, but our actions, to show them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, to minister to those hurting people around us. They start experiencing God's love through us, and they start seeing that there is hope available to them. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of hurting people inside of our community right here. There are people that have had rough upbringings. There are people that struggle to make it day by day. There's people with mental health issues and addictions. People that feel like they have absolutely no hope. There are people in our community that don't know that they're not a mistake. Did you hear that? There are people inside of our own community who believe that they're a mistake because that's what the world's always told them. And the people that have never been shown the way of Christ. I want you to think about that for a minute. The people in our community that have never been shown Christ. Oh, they've had people misuse the name of Jesus, and they've misused scripture to persecute them, to bring them down, to degrade them, but they've never actually been shown Christ's love. They've never actually been shown that they are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God and that he loves them. But as we get into that moment and we start seeing things as God sees, we start loving him with everything we have. We start seeing people as God sees them. It naturally comes into our next thing. The third part of our purpose as the church is evangelism. When we start seeing people the way God sees them, we start wanting to go in the Great Commission. And Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says, Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always till the end of age. This idea of going to make disciples of all nations is evangelism. And each and every one of us is called to do this. Did you know from the youngest to the oldest here is called to go out and evangelize? From the richest to the poorest, from the pastors to the children, every one of us are called to go out and evangelize. None of us who call ourselves Christians are exempt from this. It's about going into our community and reaching the hurting people and to showing them Jesus. It's about telling the world that they could come to Jesus as they are in that moment, and Jesus will make all things new. They don't have to get dressed up to come to Jesus. They don't need to change everything in their life before they can come to Jesus. It's not a Jesus and moment. They don't have to get their life in order before they come to Jesus. Instead, they're called to reach people. We're called to reach people right where we are, remembering that God is the one who makes all things new. That when people come to Jesus, he will take them right where they are. He'll accept them, he'll hug them, he'll love them where they are. Now, don't get me wrong. If you don't know Jesus, and when you come to Jesus, and you start praying and you start worshiping him, things are not going to stay the same. That life is going to transform. Jesus says, come as you are. He doesn't say, stay where you are. And you're going to start transforming. And when you come into relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is going to activate in your life, everything's going to change in the most amazing way. You're no longer going to want to do the things that you've always did. The things that used to appeal in your life are no longer going to appeal to you. Instead, Jesus is going to make you new from the inside out. And you're going to be welcomed into fellowship with other believers who call the fellowship with you to support you, to lift you up, to encourage you to seek Christ in all that you do. And as a body of believers, we are called to fellowship. That is number four. We're not called to walk this out alone. In fact, this is the fourth part of our mission statement. Jesus gave us an example of what he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, when we baptize somebody, we're welcoming them into the body of Christ. Now, don't get me wrong, baptism does not save you, but it's a public declaration of your faith in Christ. It is telling the world who you belong to. And when you're a fellowship of believers and they're standing there with you and they're witnessing this, they're welcoming you into fellowship inside of that moment. Because here's the deal, we are not meant to walk this out alone. Our faith is not intended to be alone. It is meant to be in fellowship. We're called to do life with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to pray for each other, to minister to one another, and even correct each other out of love. Let me be clear on that. There's a proper way. And here's the thing with the fellowship part, it's not meant to be just Sunday mornings. It's not just an hour on Sunday mornings. It's meant to be in all aspects of our lives. Because how can we teach and train each other if we don't have fellowship with each other? I want you to think about that for a minute. If you're not spending time with your brothers and sisters in Christ, how can they encourage each other? How can iron sharpen iron when we're not spending time with our brothers and sisters in Christ? If we're not allowing them to correct us, if we're not allowing them to speak into our lives, and if we're not speaking into their lives, how are we fellowshipping inside of that moment? You know, since 2020 COVID, we have really become separated on that, haven't we? We like our little hour, but then we want our space as we kind of got into that habit. Folks, we're not called to do that. As Christians, we are called to fellowship with each other. And it's through that fellowship that brings us into our fifth and final purpose of our mission statement. At the end of the Great Commission, Jesus said, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. One of the greatest responsibilities that we have as a body of believers is teaching and training our fellow believers. And often when we think of teaching and training, what do we think of? We think of Sunday morning sermons, right? That's one. We think of Sunday morning sermons, Sunday school, around here also Awana, maybe some Bible studies. That's what we think of when it comes to our teaching and training. And don't get me wrong, these are all wonderful things, but they barely scratch the surface of what we're called to do. You know, as a pastor, my job is way more than preaching on Sunday mornings. You may be surprised I have responsibilities outside of an hour a week. It's more than hospital visits. It's more than showing up to events. It's more than marrying and burying people. My job, along with the elders, is to help equip each of you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Not just to evangelize the people, but help make disciples that make disciples. You know, that's one of the things that I've noticed that we seem to have this trend on. We do pretty good about sharing the gospel, don't we? We do pretty good inside of our culture of saying, here's Jesus, take it. You know, you want it. But after somebody comes to Jesus, what do we like to do? We hand them a Bible and say, good for you, and we move on. That's not discipleship. That's not teaching and equipping. Teaching and equipping is doing life with them, to welcome them into the fellowship and to help teach and to train. And part of the job of the elders and myself is to help you guys make disciples that make disciples, to help shepherd you in the calling that God has placed on your life, because each and every one of you have a calling that God has placed on you as the body of Christ. And I pray you guys know I take that role very seriously. And I know Kerwin does as well. And as you guys are learning, as each one of you are growing, you have a responsibility to others around you. It's your responsibility to teach and train others. Not just my job, it is your job as well. From the youngest to the oldest, you are responsible for helping to equip and train others. To you parents and grandparents, you are called to teach and train your children in the ways of God. To spend time with them explaining the love that God has for them. To evangelize to your own children. Bringing them to church on Sunday morning is only one of the steps. You have a responsibility to your children to teach them at home, to train them up at home, to encourage them when they need encouragement, to correct them when they need correcting, and to help prepare them for this thing we call life, and to help them remember that they are made in the image of God and they are part of the body of Christ. To those of you who are mature in your faith, who have been walking with God for a long time, you have a responsibility to reach out to those who may not be as far along in their walk with Christ, to encourage them, to show them how to pray and how to worship, to encourage them when they're down, and gently correct them when they have a moment of weakness in their walk, pointing them back to Jesus, reminding them that they are made in the image of God and they are part of the body of Christ. And this morning, if you find yourself thinking, that's not me, I'm not mature enough in my faith for such a thing, let me rest assured and reassure you, you have a responsibility as well in the body of Christ. There's two things. One, if you feel you need someone to teach, it is your responsibility to reach out and find somebody to walk alongside you in that discipleship that you're willing to study and learn with. But on top of that, there's always someone that you can teach and train. There's always someone that is not as far along in their walk as you are. There's always someone to encourage. There's always someone here that needs to learn how to pray and how to worship. There's always someone out there with needs, reminding them that they are made in the image of Christ and they are part of the body of Christ. When we look at our mission statement here at the Mount Carmel Church of God, when we look at the statement and it says, the Mount Carmel Church of God is to be a praying and worshiping body that ministers to hurting people, makes disciples for Christ, brings people into fellowship, and trains them in ministry, it takes each and every one of us to make that happen. There is not one of us that can rest on our own and say, I'm good. It takes the body together. Because once we start praying and worshiping and we understand that we're giving everything we have to our Heavenly Father, we are to worship Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. He starts to transform us and He helps us to start minister to hurting people because He transforms our mind and we come into that relationship and we start seeing people as God sees them. And as we start seeing people as God sees them, we start actively evangelizing to them, don't we? When we start seeing them as God sees them, and we start telling them the good news of Jesus and the love that He has for them, and as we welcome them into fellowship with our other brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we welcome them into fellowship, it's our job to teach and to train them. And there's not one of us here this morning that is exempt from any of this. Nowhere in the scripture does it say only the pastors, the elders, or the Sunday school teachers do these works. Instead, we're called to come together as the body of Christ, to be His hands and feet, and to reach our community with the heart of the great commandments and the challenge of the great commission spoken by Jesus Himself. I want you guys to think about that this week. Where has God called you to? Where is your role inside of the body? Are you failing at your role? Or are you doing exactly what God has called you to? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You. Lord, we need You. We need Your guidance. We need Your wisdom. Father, I ask this morning that we examine our own hearts and our own minds, that we seek You on what You've called us to do. Lord, may You speak to each one of us here this morning. May You show us where our weaknesses and where our strengths are. Father, may we reach out to those who need encouragement. And Lord, may we reach out to those who may be wiser than us, that we may grow in more of a relationship with You. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Search the world, but it.
You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you.
Come on, sing it out one more time. Oh, there's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing.
Nothing better than you, nothing better than Jesus. As you guys head out this week, may you just examine your own hearts and minds, and who are you reaching for Christ? Who are you welcoming into fellowship? And are you playing your role in the body of Christ? God bless. Have a great week.
To be there until the end of time. You pick me up and say, don't fear. You make me brave when you are near. Whenever I rise, whenever I'll see you.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.